I think that's about all I have this morning. Other than if you want to turn in your Bibles, I want to go to the last part of wisdom. Not just any wisdom. I think it's the wisdom of God to which we need to know. Any other wisdom is just inferior to the wisdom of God. So if you turn in your Bibles, I'd like you to turn into Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. Now some of you have been here for the last two, and we're into the third part. I'll be repeating a little bit of it. It's kind of hard not to repeat God's word, because it's what we're talking about. Wisdom is quite a vast subject matter. But I think wisdom can be narrowed down to what is wisdom and what is not wisdom. The Bible said God's wisdom is His wisdom, and the rest of it is just nothing. Mm-hmm. The wisdom of man is foolishness with God. So only fools go for foolish wisdom. And like I seen in somebody's t-shirt the other day, he says, I pity the fool. I do pity the fool. The fool, it says in his heart, there is no God. Mm-hmm. The fool says, I know everything. Mm-hmm. Ever see some children when they grow up become teenagers? I know everything. Mm-hmm. And they find out they know nothing. It's the same thing as a man or a woman when they get up and they get up in life and say, you know what, I know everything. I don't have to listen to God. Well, you know, your wisdom will tell you how to eat and how to sleep. But your wisdom will not tell you how to truly live. And that's what you need to know. And then there's the wisdom of Satan. Just to mix it up and make the thing a little bit more evil, he throws in his corrupt wisdom, which corrupts the wisdom of man, and you've got one ugly mess. Mm-hmm. And you see this whole world chasing after something. They do not know what they're going after, and they're on the fast road to hell. You know, people says, you know, I would never go and drive myself off the end of the cliff. Then why are you in such a hurry to go to hell? When God calls out to you. Wisdom cries constantly every day. God's word speaks out to us. And to the Christian, mm-hmm. who belongs to Christ, open your ears and get the wax out. It's about time you listened. Proverbs chapter 9 verse 1 says, wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. Do you need to start recording? Oh, you already did. Good man. Now, what about seven pillars? You ever understand what the wisdom God is all about when a person does building? Everybody knows how to build. Everybody, in other words, everybody knows some kind of an idea of how they should build something. From building a deck, to a house, to a garage, to a doghouse, to whatever. We also understand that when a person has to build, they have to have certain structures in place. How many of you ever sat down and decided to do a puzzle? Mm-hmm. What's the first thing you look to do? What's the first thing you look to find in a puzzle?
The flat pieces, the edges.
The edge. The borders. Yeah. Well, the Bible talks about seven pillars, which are the borders, which are the fundamental pillars to which we believe. So many of us try to build without them. Why would not we want to learn from the greatest master builder of all time and eternity? Amen. Created this heaven and earth. He laid the foundations of the earth. He did a very good job. He did a very good job when he saved mankind, Noah and his eight sons. There was eight people in the boat, sorry. He told Noah how to build an ark, and the ark lasted. And the entire earth was flooded. He told Moses to build a tabernacle in the wilderness. And I think they did a pretty good job of it. Amen. Picture of the church. Mm-hmm. Perfect in redemption. Amen. The temple that Solomon built. What a glorious temple. The spiritual house. Mm-hmm. Everything there. The redemption. Your salvation is so perfect. Yeah. So well done. Man can't add to it nor take from it. God has done it in such a perfect way. Why would we not want to listen to someone who is like that? Why do we go around looking for these wisdom gurus who know nothing and say an awful lot? Mm-hmm. Sometimes of the abundance of word the fool speaks, and the abundance of their wisdom. I wondered about the seven pillars. Well, we know one pillar, and then we know the very foundational truth to which we need is we need Christ. Mm-hmm. We need to have faith in Christ. Not only faith in Christ, but then there's other things that come out. Now turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'll come back to that in a second. The major building blocks needed for your house. Christ being the chief cornerstone. Now, to build, people say, oh yes, we need Christ. We need Christ as our Savior. Well, that's just not only the only part. It only means that you got your foundational structure there in place. Mm-hmm. Being the chief cornerstone, we need that. We understand that. I don't have to go on and on and on and on. But some people don't seem to get it in their hearts. Either you're saved or you're not saved. Either you have Christ or you don't have Christ. That's it. It's over. Why do you keep trying to build the same thing over and over on the same foundation? Mm-hmm. Gee, don't look right. I'll go back and do it. Gee, don't look right. I'll go back and do it. Get it in your heart. You're saved. Yes. Start walking with them. Amen. Don't look around. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know if I'm saved or if I'm not saved. You know that is something from hell. Doubt comes from the devil. Doubt comes, and where there's doubt, there is no faith. And where there is no faith, you have sin. Sin is doubt. Doubt is sin. If you doubt God, you don't believe Him. Think of that. 1 Peter chapter 2 says this. 1 Peter chapter 2, you're all in there? Verse 5, he says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, verse 6, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay as Zion a chief cornerstone. The most important building block of anything you'll ever build is Christ. But look what it says, elect. Precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded, not be confused, not be doubted by God. But look at verse 7. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And verse 8, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they also were appointed. You find people trying to do it without Christ. We see these in all lots of religions. But let's not just stop there, because this is where the Christian thinks that he can go after he's saved and he can put up whatever he wants on his house or build his house, whatever. You must follow the foundational pillars to which God says are important. Mm-hmm. Remember, you got to build with whose word? Mm-hmm. Your word. Well, your word ain't worth nothing. Mm-hmm. It's not worth one little thing. If the builders are disallowed the chief cornerstone, the most important building stone, it comes to naught. You, if you build upon that, and don't build with the right things, the right doctrinal truth, you're going to find your structure, your pillars, the foundations which are going to hold everything together, you're going to find out it's going to collapse. It will fall. This is why we are always taught simple, basic, doctrinal, fundamental, foundational truths. You have to have that, and you've got to have the right ones. Everybody has doctrines. Everybody's got their own little theology. I don't care what your theology is. I don't care what my theology is. I care what the theology of God is and His Word, what His Word says. That's what we got to hold to, not anything else. If you hang on to your Word, it's going to crumble in your hands. Mm-hmm. It's going to be nothing but dust. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Understand, wisdom hath built her house. She has hewn seven pillars, very important things. You ever go to a house and see a building? You've got your foundation, you've got your pillars, you've got your walls. And these things, these corner posts, tie everything, which you tie everything together. If you have something missing, you cannot tie it together. Mm-hmm. Hebrews 6, verse 1 to 3, and it says, therefore, Hebrews 6, verse 1 to 3, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Not laying again. Once it's laid, it's already done. You built your thing in Christ, it's done. You don't have to worry. Mm-hmm. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and the resurrection of dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. Now we have to see the right doctrines. Faith in Christ. Christ being the foundation. Baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is the entrance to the power of God. Baptism of water in the name of Christ, not in the name of the Father, not in the name of the Son, and not the name of the Holy Ghost. People go around saying that. No, he has a name. And he only has one name whereby men can be saved. And that is the name of Jesus Christ. The doctrine of laying on of hands. I don't care what Christian it is and where he comes from. This, the laying on of hands, is ordained of God. And us to walk in spiritual gifts is ordained of God. Mm-hmm. Resurrection of the dead. Resurrection of the just and the unjust. The rapture is all tied into this. So many people always wondering, I don't know if I'm going to be in the rapture or not. Jesus Christ your Savior, you believe in Him, you have faith in Him, you're going with Him. We'll all stand at the judgment seat of Christ to give an answer for what we've done in His body, whether good or bad. Even bad Christians are going, even rebellious Christians. God says He gave gifts unto men, yea, for the rebellious also. Even for the rebellious Christian can get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Why? It's not based on his walk, it's based on his faith. Amen. If you think you're going to work to get to heaven, you're going to be in a very big shock of your life. You're going to have to work with faith. Faith is the only thing you can use. Eternal judgment. What God is going to do to the world. He's going to what? Exonerate the just, and He's going to punish the unjust. The unbeliever, the Christ rejecter, is going to be punished one day. And we have to have all these perspectives put in place. So when we build on these things, we're walking and standing in the things of God, not the things of man, the doctrines of God. Because they are your pillars. They are your structure, which join all truth and light together. And if you have the certain goal posts that are put in place, certain fundamental truths, everything ties to the other. If it doesn't tie in and connect with each other, it doesn't fit. It doesn't work. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, it says this, wisdom leads you into the things of God. Wisdom leads you to spiritual gifts. So why do I say that? Because the entire church, I won't say the entire church, but a lot of Christians don't want to walk in anything. They like to go on Sundays and throw their hands in the air and throw themselves on the floor and hope Jesus will do something. You know what I call that? A lazy Christian. A Christian who doesn't want to do anything. Christian who doesn't want to learn. Christian that doesn't want to walk with Christ. I remember a preacher saying this one time, there's three types of believers. I always thought there was two till he said that one time. It made a lot of sense. There's the believer, then there's the unbeliever, and then there's the make-believer. Which is true. There's people who walk with Christ. There's people who pretend they walk with Him. Which one do you fit in? Then there's the unbelieving believer. You ever see that? Mm-hmm. who doesn't believe the very word to what she's supposed to walk in. Ecclesiastes 7, verse, chapter 7, verse 19 says, "Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city." The wisdom of God strengthens you. The wisdom of God gives you strength. The wisdom of God leads you into the most important things of God. Because wisdom leads you to spiritual gifts, which is the power of God, which you need for the laying on of hands. You don't go lay hands on people and pet them. You don't lay hands on people and pat them on the back. That's not what Jesus was talking about. That was the case. And they shall pet those who they lay their hands on. That's what it should say, but it doesn't say that. We know the laying on of hands is for the ministering of the power of the Spirit, able to set people free, to deliver them, and bring in healing. Because all these things are tied to these important truths. Satan doesn't want you to walk in these truths. Because the more stronger you are, the more stronger your defense is, the more your fortress is, or a place of refuge for the weak, the sickly, the ignorant, the unlearned, you're able to protect. And Satan is what? He finds there's a fortified city, and that's the first thing he hates to see, because he doesn't want that. Because he knows if a place becomes fortified and strong, he is going to get beaten up. The wisdom of Satan and the wisdom of man cannot stand. Cannot stand up to the wisdom of God. Jesus said, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings will really be smart." That's not what it says. He says, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them." You know what? You can hear that word all day. You can plug yourself in to the MP3s, CDs, tape cassettes, whatever else you want to hang out, you can hook them up and put them in the ears, and you can blast yourself 365 days of the year, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it'll just go on and on and on. But if you won't do what the word says, it doesn't matter how much comes in, it's just all going to go out. Yeah. You have to do the word. If you do them, you become a wise master builder. Accepting the advice of the master telling you what you should do. Building with the pillars of truth those doctrines. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. And I want to show you a thing here. Jesus said to beware of those doctrines of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Doctrines of men and devils. In other words, these doctrines to which the enemy in righteousness was want to come against the word of God. Know what Satan says? You don't need faith. Mm-hmm. Satan says, you can't always be saved. Satan says to you, you shouldn't walk in faith. Satan says you must work. Mm-hmm. And you must work hard. And maybe God will throw a little crumb off the table for you, and you'll catch that little blessing. Right? We are not dogs at a table. We sit at our Master's house, our Savior, and He treats us as friends, as brothers, as His children, joint heirs with Christ. Mm-hmm. It's very, very, very great difference. Matthew 16, verse 12 says, "Then understood they how that He bade them not beware of the leaven of bread." It's not natural bread and food that you got to be concerned about, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. It's the doctrines that are being peddled out in the world today, which what destroy our faith instead of cause us to grow in faith. Paul told Timothy to take heed unto himself and unto the doctrine. Our doctrine's important. People say, well, you know what? We can believe whatever and we can do whatever. No. No. As Christians, we're supposed to walk in the same things and believe the same things. Why? It's the same God. It's His Word. We're supposed to believe the same thing, not something else, whatever we think. Because remember, your mind is corrupt. Your mind is wicked. Your mind does not agree with God. Your mind argues with God. 1 Timothy chapter 4. You want to build with garbage. Matter of fact, they got a garbage can out there. Go build your house. If you've used your corrupt mind or used the wisdom of Satan, you're going to build something that's very wicked and very evil. 1 Timothy 4, verse 16, it says this, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine." 1 Timothy 4, verse 16, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." This is true. What His Word declares, what His Word teaches us. Keep and do them. This is your wisdom. His Word, His Word, His Word. This is why when you come to church, you know, it's nice to gather together socially and to see each other and have fellowship with each other. That's important. It's good. To encourage one another, it is good. But you know what's most important? Is the teaching of the Word of God and you walking in the good things of God. That's the most important. Because whether you like me or don't like me, really, is not as important as me hearing the Word of God and learning from the Word of God. We need to know what that Word, and we need to be taught these things, to walk in these things. Because I can always win your friendship back. You can always win my friendship and fellowship back. But one thing we need to have is that Word of God that will bring us to what we need to walk in. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, it says this. Remember when Moses had the children of Israel? Statutes and judgments are foundational doctrinal truths. That's what they are. In other words, what we are to live by, what we are to guide ourselves by, because when he went into the promised land, was a picture of a spiritual land to which they were supposed to live in and raise their family, raise their children, and live their life. And God said, these are the statutes and judgments to which I give you, which you do while you are here in this land. So he told them what was clean, what was not clean, what was good, what was not good, how to wash, how to look, what to stay away from, everything. Everything you needed to know, God had it there for them. And it's the same thing that is for us today. Not all things we are able to do is acceptable of God. I've seen Christians with ears pierced. I've seen men. I've seen women with ears studded all the way up around. I've seen men with long hair. I've seen scruffy. I see tattoos on their bodies. I've seen them plaster themselves. Why are you doing this? I see Christians out drinking. I see Christians going to bars. I see Christians going to casinos. Us living a life that is what ungodly. And the Word of God tells us not to do this. It teaches us this. Not to get to heaven, but because we're going there. That's a big difference. Amen. It was really nice to see someone say, you know, the Bible says men should not have long hair. It's a shame for them. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're infringing on me and you're being legalistic. No. Legalistic tells me if you don't cut your hair, you're going to hell. Right. That's legalistic. Yeah. Looking in the truth and light in Christ Jesus says, we are supposed to be shamefaced and comely. We're not supposed to make ourselves like the world. Modest apparel. Women dressed like whores. Christian women. I can understand the unsaved. He doesn't have Christ. I can understand why he hangs out in the bars and he does what he does. He's not saved. What excuse have you as a Christian got for all this stuff? I don't like going to that church because they don't have rock and roll bands. Well, then don't come. I'd rather stand alone. I'd rather be alone and talk to myself than have to succumb and bow to everybody else. That was the fault of so many Christians. So many in the Old Testament when they went to the Promised Land. Look at us. We don't look so good. Then you have the other religious nuts who figure they have to wear little aprons on their head when they go to church. The women have to wear long dresses and like so. So they go from one extreme to the other, from prostitutions to what? And we stand there and we look at ourselves and saying, oh, you don't have to adorn yourself. You can put jewelry on yourself. There's nothing wrong with that. But you don't look like Mr. T. The reason why I say Mr. T is because the fellow was loaded up with gold chains. I think he took them all off. He said, but I use that for an example because you relate to that right away. Mm-hmm. You don't look like something that's been shot with makeup in a paint storm. Black eyeballs, you look like an owl. Or dark lips. Or something painted on you look like a ghoul. I've seen people there where they put all that clay stuff on there and they look like they come out of a grave. It's horrible. But there's nothing wrong with makeup. Nothing wrong with putting on makeup and making yourself look pretty. Nothing wrong with perfume. Some people need it. Some people kind of smell. But there's everything wrong when you smell like something that came out of wherever. You don't overdo it. But we, no. We go from one extreme to the other. Remember talking to Christians, how they used to get with whatever. The Bible has no such custom for women putting things on their head. But it's the glory for the woman to have long hair. It's everything for a woman to look like a man. See, women can't wear pants. No, there's some pants that women wear are made for women. There's some pants that are made for men. Women don't wear men's pants. But if we want to look at it spiritually, a woman should not wear that which pertaineth to a man. Has to do, a woman should not take the man's role in his own home. We should look at the most important things. You're not going to hell over any of it. Whether you have your head covered, your head uncovered, whether you got makeup on you, will you pack it on 6 inches thick? I don't care. You're not going to hell over it. Amen. But if you want to live a testimony and a witness for Christ and be what Christ has had you to do, then there's a big difference. Mm-hmm. Deuteronomy 4 verse 1 says, now therefore hearken, O Israel. Deuteronomy 4 verse 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and to the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it. In other words, you shouldn't take what you like and then put it around and change a little bit and do something like other people have done with the Bibles. Mm-hmm. I don't like the King James Version because it's a little too hard to understand. So you go in there and you muddle it all up and you turn it around and you change it all and you say, well, this is what it is now. Now we don't know anything. And it says in the last part of the second voice, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. There's a lot more than 10 commandments, and there's a lot more things that you ought to be doing. Verse 3 says, for your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor, for all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. What did they do with Baal Peor? They went chasing after another wisdom. They went after a cult. They went after other religions. They went after the world. And they worshiped gods and they got turned from walking with the Lord and following His ways, His good judgment. And guess what they did? They got into very, very bad little dirty things. And we today say, oh no, it's not like that. The Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now that doesn't mean talking with unbelievers, because how do you win a soul to Christ if you don't talk to them? Right. But what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? If your friends are pulling you away from Christ, they are not your friends. They're your enemies. And sometimes you have to draw a line on the people to whom you hang around with, even if it's Christians. You know, some Christians love to go and do sin, and they like to get other people to go and sin with them. It's no fun sinning alone, isn't it? It's no fun sinning alone. For some reason, people like misery loves company. That's true. When a guy's in a ditch, he is feeling miserable unless somebody else is in there with him. I used to watch and I used to listen to people sometimes, and it'd be amazing what they used to do. It'd be amazing that they used to sit down, and if they were in trouble, they loved it more when somebody else was with them. They need company. No man wants to be in hell alone. If you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I want to read a couple verses here, and then I'll move on. The Bible talks about godliness and holiness, but we don't hear that anymore. The only thing we hear about is what band is playing tonight, and is it going to be good? Or, I like so-and-so because he's such a wonderful speaker. Or, he's such a wonderful singer. Oh, the Apostle Paul could give you a few good stories. He'd be rude in speech. In other words, he wasn't a man that minced his words. A lot of people would love to hear old Martin Luther, this great reformer. If you listen to some of the things that that man said, he'd tell you what to do in no uncertain terms and where to go in no uncertain terms. But we don't have the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom, in our eyes anymore.
No.
We figure God, well, he'll just accept and he'll just do. And we've never seen down through the years what God has done. We haven't seen Ananias and Sapphira, what? They dropped dead right in front of Peter when they lied. Can you imagine if we got hit when every time we lied? Mm-hmm. Not too many people would be standing. In other words, everybody be dead. But we don't have the fear of God anymore. We got more concerned about what Joe and what Jim thinks, not what Jesus thinks. Verse 17, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17 and 18 says this. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. Ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And we are told the same thing. Come out. Don't walk in uncleanness. He calls his people. Come away from the whore. Come out from among her, my people. Be not a partaker of his sins. And here we are hanging on to a lot of the Catholic Church. I mentioned Trinity, and immediately the ears go up. When I say Trinity is an unholy, ungodly doctrine, it's a pagan doctrine, immediately you want to go there and choke me and kill me. But there is only one God, we must agree.
Amen.
And there's only one Lord Jesus Christ. He is one. He'll always be one. He is the Holy Spirit. He is God.
Mm-hmm.
He is holy. God is a spirit. I go on and on and on. It's only going to be one standing at the end. If you got more than one, you've got something wrong with your theology.
Amen.
Everybody likes that Holy Spirit that they call. Because why? Because they got an imagination of the Spirit that's going to give them a good feeling. People shook and trembled at the presence of God. Today we laugh, we giggle, we joke, woo, we fall down, we get up, oh, ho, ho, and everything else. Something's wrong. Only a fool would build with the word without the word of God. Turn me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Being taught of the things of God, being shown, being reproved, being corrected, is very important for us to walk with Christ. Wisdom, you find out, just in your experience of life, is that you learn from your mistakes. In other words, what works and what doesn't work. I know if I put my finger there and I hit it with a hammer, it's going to hurt. Logical wisdom tells you, Don't put finger there. When bang hammer, you won't hit finger. It will not hurt. Now, that's very simple. That's how I kind of figure things. In other words, there's some things you do, you know what the result is going to be. Sometimes very painful. Well, you find out that God reproves us and He corrects us. In other words, if you keep doing the same thing, why do you expect a different result? In other words, if I put my finger there and hit it with the hammer, you think it's not going to hurt? It's going to hurt. And every time I put my finger there and I hit it with the hammer, it's going to hurt. The only time it won't hurt is when I don't hit it. I have to change what I'm doing. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says this. But continue thou, 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 14, I'll give you time to get in there with your Bibles. 2 Timothy 3 verse 14 to 17 says this, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing whom thou hast learned them. What are these things? Doctrines and truth. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You find out, you dear Christian, got some things that are wrong. When I was going to Bible college, the Lord showed me, when I went there, He said, washing of water by the word, not because I was something I was doing was bad. He said, you have to be corrected in your thinking of what you think things are. There's some Christians that hold to evolution. There's some Christians who think abortions are fine. There's some Christians who think that they can do whatever they want and live anything they want. There's certain Christians who think it's fine to go into bars and drink. There's some Christians who think gambling is fun and it's okay. Drugs and some Christian men and women think that it's perfectly all right to go and live together and live with each other and have sex with whoever and say, it's fine. But the Bible says, no, it's wrong. And we have to learn these things. Reproofs and correction give wisdom. That's how we learn from God. Don't be wise in your own wisdom. The rod and reproof, in other words, the Lord corrects you and says, no, this is what you ought to be doing. It makes you smarter. Makes you wiser. Proverbs chapter 29. You have to be willing to accept the word of God as it is in the Bible. There's a lot of very, very powerful TV ministries and preachers who get up there and they say a lot of things. Does not necessarily mean that they are right. The Word of God is right. They're wrong. If you go against the Word of God, you're going to be wrong. It doesn't matter if you're great or small. It doesn't matter how important you are or who you are. If you go against the Word of God, you are wrong. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 29 verse 15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom. When God corrects you, you should take it because it's going to make you wiser. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. A child left to himself becomes rebellious and spoiled. And guess what? It's not smart. Not wise. Can you remember when you were left to yourself, as when you were growing up and your mother and father didn't discipline you, what happened? Mm-hmm. I can remember. A young man, I figured I knew everything. As a young man, I found out I knew nothing. But this comes from experience, learning from what? A lot of things that I did wrong. Some Christians think like that. And some of them are very much older and still have not learned. Some Christians think that wisdom just falls from heaven. They don't have to read the Bible. They don't have to study the Word. They don't have to learn. And they don't have to take instruction. Oh, walking with Christ is not always fun and games. It's not always party time. You have to learn. You have to knuckle down and you have to do. And you find you walk with Christ, it's very serious. And the Lord takes it very serious. When you take Christ as your Savior, God has got a very big interest in you. You might not think much of it, but God is very much interested in you. And when He invests in you, He expects a return. He don't ask for it, He expects it. Mm-hmm. To whom much is given, much is expected. Mm-hmm. Always remember that. We have to learn. We have to be taught. The apostle was sent out to teach all nations. Teach him what? How to play tiddlywinks? How to be a good band leader? Jesus taught the people, angered the Sadducees and Pharisees. There's a lot of religions like to keep you ignorant, stupid, in a dark corner. The best thing you could be called is mushroom Christians. In the dark, blind, don't know anything, don't see nothing. Why do you think you have a Bible today? Because God wanted to take you out of the darkness and give you His wonderful word. That's why He raises up men and women of God to stand forth and come against all those who like to keep you in the dark. To which fool would one not you not to walk in the power of God? Which fool would think that you should walk around blind and not be able to see spiritually? Because they don't want you to see the dark things that they do. Like the fellow says, keep the light off. You don't see anything. These are spiritual leaders that are like that. I say yes. Do you ever realize the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin were grieved that the people were taught? Jesus said, learn of me. He didn't say learn of them. He said, come unto me, ye that are that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. The ways of Christ are very easy. They're so light. But I don't like walking too easy. Here's a ball and chain. Oh, here's some more things. That's what the Sadducees and Pharisees did to the people. They threw such heavy burdens on them, they could not bear them. So you know what? They used to say, heck with it, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. But who does Satan look for? You know, you can always rob a blind man. A man that cannot see is easy as picking to be robbed. He can't see when you're coming. He doesn't know. Why would you want to be spiritually blind? Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. There's one spot I want to take you here. I'm just jumping through a few pages here. I want to bring you to somewhere. There's people who would pervert the word of God, and we understand this. There's people who go out there and who twist it for their own purpose and own reason, Satan. And those who are his puppets, whether willingly or unwillingly. You know, there is such a thing as guilt by association. You know, if you unwillingly help a robber, you can be nailed as an accessory. There's a lot of Christians who are out there helping Satan. They figure they're not doing anything wrong. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul tells Timothy some certain things. And I want you to see this. Now, if you think doctrines are not important, watch this and see, understand what I'm talking about. Your faith in Christ, your Savior, the rapture, the resurrection. These things are very, very important because your faith can get overthrown. How would you like to walk with God? By works or by faith? Faith is much easier than works. And how much would you like to get to heaven on? Your works or your faith? Now, in other words, I mean works by meaning if you're going to come before God and say, God, this is how good I've been. Am I accepted? Or I just believe that Christ did it all for me. Which one is going to be accepted? I believe is going to be accepted. My righteousness are as filthy rags. They'll always be like that. I can't throw my do-goods in front of God and say, look, I am really good. Yeah. God says, you know what? You stink. And he'll show you and he'll tell you all your sins. And you want to know something? There are a lot more than you'll ever even dream of. Because there's more you've forgotten what you've done. And God don't forget. Especially unconfessed. And he'll show it to you. 2 Timothy 2 verse 14 says this, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So anybody who doesn't think they have to study God's word, you're in for a harsh reality. And you have to rightly divide the word of truth. In other words, you have to make it so it does not, you don't go and take out and do whatever you want, but it's divided rightly. In other words, truth is truth. Mm-hmm. In verse 16, he says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Verse 17, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. In other words, they told them the rapture happened. You're too late, you missed it. So it throws the faith of some, saying, you know what, I missed it, the heck with it. I might as well live like the world now because I ain't going to heaven. Verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. In other words, unwise things will only beget ungodliness. You belong to Christ, walk with Christ. But look at verse 20. But in the great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Nothing worse than termites eating away your building. Unwise words, and if you build with doctrines that are not of God, doctrines of men and devils, they are rottenness to the bones. And ungodliness is rottenness, and this will not hold its foundation, because the resurrection is a foundational truth. And if you take that out and you replace it with something else, and you know yourself, termites eating away. You know how people spray for the bugs? Well, termites in the south eat lumber like fish drink water. It goes very, very fast, and your house will not last long. When the termites get in there, and if you don't get rid of them, they will eat that entire building up, and they'll just collapse. You got to build with truth and light. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. The wisdom what? The wisdom of God and his wisdom concerning truth and light. Who does Satan look for? Who does Satan want to get their hands on? The weak, the sickly, the ignorant, the dumb, the ignorant, the blind, the unlearned. He don't go after the healthy. He can't get them. If you don't understand this, watch a nature program concerning herds and how they hunt. And who do you think they go after? The old, the young, the weak, the sick, the halt, and the maimed. Mm-hmm. something you can look at nature and you can learn an awful lot. God shows you an awful lot about it if you could just pay attention to it. Now, turn with me to Romans chapter 14. No faith in Christ? Well, no faith in Christ coming for you concerning the rapture? And I've seen people do this. Well, no faith. Faith is a foundational truth. You take out faith, you have no foundational truth. Therefore, you have sin. Very, very simple. Doubt is sin. No faith, you have sin. Mm-hmm. Romans 14, verse 23 says this. He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Mm-hmm. Try and build your life with Christ without faith. It's trying to like build your walk with God without His Word. It's the same thing. You can't do it. So why try? Your what? Endeavors will become shipwrecked. Don't look around looking at other people, what their response is. Look at about, think about yourself. It's more important to think about what's going to happen to you. You know, the Bible is the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that book is for me. B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. That's the first thing we teach little children about God's Word. You stand alone. In other words, you're going to answer to God all alone. Don't worry about anybody beside you, because when you stand there, no husband, no friends, no family, whatever around you, you're going to be standing before God, you're going to answer to Him. And He says, what did you do with my Word? He won't say, what did you all do? Everybody point their fingers. He says, what did you? And you'll always find the Bible is very definite. It says, ye. It says, ye, meaning you. God is very specific in that word to which we like to change, because we don't like it talking to us like that. It's too definite. Let's mix it up a little bit and shove it off in the corner so we don't have to pay attention to it. You know, Paul says, I would that you all spake with tongues. Well, let's just get the tongues out. And would I speak to you all? Why? Because faith has to be to speak in tongues. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to have faith. So we just keep putting it off. They just go on and on and on. If you're ever going to give heed to something, wisdom of God is something to give heed to. The wisdom of God teaches you how to live. How to raise your children. How to be with a husband and wife. How to live in an ungodly world to which you were redeemed out of. You go to self-help gurus, you go to psychologists, you go to the physicians of no value, you go to the doctors of the law who do not even know what they themselves do, who give you advice on things they themselves do not even do. And you go and do it. The Bible says, wisdom giveth life. If you really want to live, walk in the wisdom of God. It gives you life. But if we hang on to the wisdom of this world, we'll see destruction and we'll see death. We will see destruction in our lives. How many people have shipwrecked their lives? I'm just not saying the unsaved. I'm just talking about the people that are saved. God says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? He says He has. Whose wisdom prevails and whose wisdom doesn't prevail. The weakness of God is stronger than men. The weakness of God is stronger than you. But there is no weakness with God. Your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. But we just don't seem to understand that. We keep looking around. The secret of a wise master builder. The secret of a wise master builder is what you build with and how to build. When I want to learn to do something really well, I like to go to the master builder, the guy that knows everything. I do not like going to the fellow who tells me everything but knows nothing. You have enough people around that around. One who designed the ark, one who designed the tabernacle in the wilderness, one who built gave the design of the temple of Jerusalem. Do you realize that David got that blueprint from God? Moses got that blueprint from God. When God created the heaven and the earth, I think he did a very good job. Do you not think we should go to him who knows everything? Or do we go to the ones who say an awful lot and hope somehow everything is going to tick along? That come along and saying lies and deceit. The Bible talks about them seducing his people. The Bible talks about building with untempered mortar. You know what untempered mortar is? With something that has never been tried. The Word of God has been tried, it's tested, it's true. It stands up for all time and eternity. It can't fail us. So why would we want to go build with something else? But there's people always trying to build with untempered mortar. And they wonder why some of their building collapses. I remember one fellow saying to me, "You mean I got to dump all this stuff and believe what you're telling me?" And then you say, "I'm not going to do that. It means all my life I've been wasting." If you're building all your life with garbage, do you still want to keep your garbage the rest of your life? I'd rather have 5 years of a good life and 5 years of building with good than having 50 years of nothing. Or even 1 week. And the Bible says this. "Therefore, saith the Lord God, I will even rend it with a stormy wind in my fury, and there shall be an overflow shower in my anger, and great hailstones in my fury to consume it." God's going to test every house. He's going to put it through the fire. He's going to see what sort of it. He's going to blow upon it. Mm-hmm. And if it's made with his word, it won't fall. But if it's not made with his word, it's going to come down. And great is the fall of it. Remember the fiery trials, destructions that come upon the world? The Lord will send whirlwinds, famines, pestilence, floods, and even fires. He says that. Oh no, God's not going to do that. God's not going to destroy the earth then. He's not going to punish the wicked. John the Baptist said this in Matthew 3 and verse 11. You don't have to turn there, you should know this. "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." And also says this, "whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into his garner, but he will burn the chaff with unquenchable fire." Keep in mind, his hand, he will burn, he will destroy. To whom does this thing refer to? There's a day coming that upon every building will be uncovered. Is your building going to stand? Is what you've been building going to hold up? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want you to turn in here. It's the last verse for this morning. We're at the end. 'If your earthly house is of this tabernacle were destroyed, what is your building made of?'" 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1 says, look at this. "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved," in other words, this body, "we have a building of God," a building of God, "a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And what word is that? It's his word. Mm-hmm. Built with his truth, his light, his foundational doctrines, foundations, those pillars, everything in there. So whenever happens, and no matter what happens on this earth, and believe me, it does happen. In the Second World War, people thought Hitler was the Antichrist, and people thought the rapture happened, and people's faith were overthrown. Jehovah Witnesses have changed the time of Christ's coming. How many times? Mm-hmm. There's so many Christians today looking at so many things. They look for revival and they figure, well, if revival is coming, this is going to be great. And they jump up and down. Woo, 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 it's going to be fun. Do you know when a revival comes that you're going to be on your knees repenting before God and cleaning up your lifestyle? That's what revival is all about. But the wisdom of God teaches us that. The wisdom of man says, oh, picnic time, happy days are here. And the devil says, you don't have to do anything. We read verse 2, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. Verse 2 says, "For if in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." It's our heavenly house. "If so be that ye be clothed, we shall not be found naked. The only covering that I know can cover us is the Word of God." That's the only covering. "Building with the Word, because His Word will not pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word will stand forever. Forever thy Word is settled in heaven." Jesus said, "It is written in heaven." It stands there. The wisdom of God is vital in building your spiritual life while you live on this earth. Do it. Walk in that wisdom. Amen? And learn of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for your light. Lord, bless it to each and every heart as they go forward and walking in this word and receiving of it, that they might go in your wisdom, Lord, in the mind of Christ, not in the mind of man or the mind of Satan, Lord, because we know that those two minds are mindless. We just thank you that your mind and your wisdom is here, that we might walk in it. Guide us in those ways, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.